One was the chapter 13 from the 11th canto and chapter 14. So we'll briefly go through these two chapters. First one is known as Hamsavatar answers the questions of the sons of Brahma. So now, do you remember what actually happened in this chapter? Krishna told Uddhava while discussing about the ultimate perfection of yoga, meditation. He leads to that incident when Brahma's sons ask Lord Brahma about this topic, and Brahma, feeling unable to properly answer their question, Brahma meditated upon the Supreme Personality of God, seeking his guidance. And then the Lord appeared as Hamsavatar. In this chapter, Lord Sri Krishna explains to Uddhava how human beings, overwhelmed by sense gratification, become bound by the three modes of nature, and how to renounce these modes. How everyone is bound by the modes and how to become free from the modes. The Lord then describes how he appeared in his form of Hamsa before Brahma and the four sages headed by Sanaka, and revealed to them various confidential truths. So, material entanglement is caused by what? Our entanglement in the material nature is caused by our desire for sense gratification. And that entanglement in the material nature is affected or monitored by three different modes: ignorance, passion, and goodness. Ignorance and passion, or rather, should be the other way around. Passion and ignorance are the predominating modes of material. And everyone in this material nature becomes active. Let's try to understand it this way. When somebody wants to enjoy, what does he do? Does he fall asleep? Does he sit at one place? What does one do when one wants to enjoy?
Sounding
a sound. Why? Who is monitoring the sound? Is it coming now? Hare Krishna. Okay, so the material, let's go back. What causes our entanglement in the material nature? The desire for sense gratification. And this desire for sense gratification or involvement in the material nature, entanglement in the material nature, is dominated by basically two modes. All living entities in the material nature are entangled by the three modes of material nature. And the predominating modes are passion and ignorance.
When one wants to enjoy, what does he do? When one wants to enjoy, he becomes active. And this action takes place in which mode? Passion. And this passion, again, leads to ignorance. We see, passion means being active with the body. But for how long one can be active? No matter how powerful, how strong a person is, he would become tired. So when he becomes tired, then he enters into the mode of ignorance. So these are the two prevailing modes of material. Passion, ignorance. Then from ignorance to passion, passion to ignorance. But then when one becomes situated in knowledge, then he withdraws himself from materialistic involvement. He gets to know what is what. Then he comes out of this cycle of passion. And what is that that causes? Which mode causes this wisdom or knowledge? Mode of goodness. So it's the mode of goodness that helps one to come out or overcome the influence of passion. When one comes into the mode of goodness, see, entanglement in the material nature is caused by passion and ignorance. And detachment from the material nature is caused by goodness. So passion leads to enjoyment, bhakti, and goodness leads to mukti, liberation from material. But this bhakti and mukti, enjoyment in the material nature and liberation from material nature, are actually the two sides of the same coin. Same coin. One side is head, one side is tail. Want to enjoy the material nature. Want to be free from the material nature. The context is actually this. But then, when one comes to the platform of pure devotion, then only he can literally and effectually get out of the material nature and enter into the spiritual. And the spiritual world is pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva. So, I'll just read this paragraph. I'm just reading from the summary. Lacking discrimination, one identifies with the material body and consequently the mode of passion which produces misery takes over the mind, which is normally the mode of goodness. As the mind evolves its function of decision and doubt, it creates intolerable hankerings for sense gratification. Unfortunate persons who are bewildered by the urges of the mode of passions become the slaves of their senses. Even though they know that the eventual result of their work will be suffering, they cannot avoid engaging in such behavior. A discriminating person, on the other hand, keeps himself detached from the object of preference and by utilizing appropriate renunciation takes shelter of unalloyed devotion. Lord Brahma himself has no material faults. He is the cause of the creation of all living beings and he is the greatest among all the demigods. Yet even Brahma is always suffering agitation of the mind on account of the duties he has to perform. Like Brahma is not actually coming, Brahma has no material force. How did Brahma come? Brahma's force is not in the material. Brahma came directly from Lord Buddha and Krishna, directly from his navel. But still we see that Brahma is feeling agitation, anxiety, due to the anxiety of the duties that he has to perform. Therefore, when he was questioned by his sons, hated by Sanaka, who were born from his mind, about the means for driving away desires for sense gratification, he was incapable of giving them an answer. In order to revive some insight into the matter, he took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereupon the Supreme Lord appeared before him in the form of the Swan incarnation, Lord Hamsa. Lord Hamsa proceeded to give instructions about the categorical identity of the self, the different states of consciousness, and the means for conquering over material existence. The sages, aided by Shanaka, became freed from all their doubts by hearing the words of the Lord and worshipped him with pure devotion and mature love. And all the time what we are finding, it's always coming to one very simple point. Surrender to the Lord is the only means of becoming free from material bondage. So then Krishna explains the yoga system to Uddhava. In this chapter, Krishna explains that devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the most excellent method for spiritual practice. He also speaks about the process of meditation. She would never want to know which process of spiritual advancement is the best. He also desired to hear about the super excellency of devotional service free from ulterior motives. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied to him that the original process of religion revealed in the Vedas had become lost during the time of annihilation. At the beginning of the new creation, therefore, the Supreme Lord spoke it again to Brahma. Brahma repeated it to Manu. Manu spoke it to the sages headed by Bhrigu Muni. And these sages in turn instructed this eternal religion to the demigods and demons. Because of the living entity's multitude of diverse desires, the system of religion was elaborately explained in different ways. Thus different philosophies arose, including various atheistic doctrines. Because the living entity, bewildered by illusion, is incapable of ascertaining his eternal benefit. He mistakenly identifies ordinary vows of penance, austerity, etc., to be the topmost spiritual practice. But the only true meaning towards achieving happiness is to meditate on offering everything to the Supreme Lord. In this way, one becomes free from all desires for selfish gratification through enjoyment of mundane sense objects. And he becomes released from all hankerings for their enjoyment or liberation. So, this is how this knowledge descended. Actually, always this knowledge comes down from the spiritual side and becomes manifest in this material nature. Now, at the time of annihilation, what happens? Everything dissolves, everything is destroyed. That means at that time, all the living entities are withdrawn. So when all the living entities are withdrawn, then the knowledge also is lost. At the time of annihilation, the Vedic knowledge, Vedic wisdom also gets lost. Therefore, when the creation begins, at the beginning of each creation, Krishna has to impart the knowledge to the first creation. This is how this knowledge becomes available in this material nature. Now the question is, then what about those who have the knowledge, those living entities? At the time of annihilation, they may have gone back to the region of Andhra Pramishra or deep sleep. But then again, when they come back to the material nature, the knowledge should come back with them. But the reality is, Jai Shri Shri Gaurangam, Jai Shri Shri Radham, Mohan, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Bhagavan. But the reality is, in this material nature, everyone is born in ignorance. Even though the person, the spirit soul, has the knowledge from his previous life, when he comes to the material nature, he is in ignorance. He doesn't have any clue of that knowledge. Therefore, one needs a spiritual master. The spiritual master awakens that knowledge. Either he gives it to those who doesn't have that and rekindles it in those who already have it. And that is why the initiation is considered to be the birth of the soul. Not that the soul is born, but the soul becomes rekindled. That's where we find that sometimes some devotees who appear to be so advanced, or appear to advance so quickly, they get initiated and very quickly they leave. So then we have to understand that they are still continuing from the previous day. Once this cat knowledge is rekindled, it fails the soul. So it becomes manifest again. And that therefore it appears that he made such quick advancement. Like if he made advancement up to this level and left his body in his previous life, when he begins, very quickly he goes to that level because he has already achieved that level. And then he will continue to make further advancements. The spiritual knowledge never goes to this. but it needs to be awakened. And therefore, Janmana Jayate Shukra. By birth, everyone is a Shukra. Meaning, everyone is in mode of ignorance. No knowledge. Shukra means ignorance. But Sanskara Bhavati Shukra. By the process of purification, Sanskara, by the process of initiation, he becomes Bijas, twice born. First birth was of the body. Second birth is of the soul. In this body, now the soul is reborn. And now he will make further efforts. Now that he has been initiated into the path, once again, he will start moving forward. So similarly, even Brahma comes to this material, although he is directly coming from the Supreme Personality of God. He is also in ignorance. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know who he was. But then the Lord awakens his identity and purpose. Krishna awakens his spiritual life by imparting the Vedas. Then Brahma is now situated in knowledge. Now Brahma knows who he is. Now Brahma knows what's his business. Now he knows where he came from. And then Brahma in turn passed the knowledge down to his son. His sons. The line where we belong to is also coming from Brahma. But that line came from Narada. Whereas this line is coming from Bhrigu. And Bhrigu then gave it to his sons. And they in turn gave it to their sons. From Bhrigu came Prajapatis like Kashyap. And from them came, especially from Kashyap and his other brother, all the living entities. Kashyap had various wives, daughters of Daksha. One daughter of Daksha is Aditi. So from her came Adityas, the demigods. Another daughter was Diti. From her came the Daityas, or the demons. One daughter was Kadru. From her came the snakes. Another daughter was Vinata. From her came the birds, headed by Garuda and Varuna. In this way, different living entities appear. And then, according to their nature, the knowledge was imparted. The purpose is actually to regulate them. Now, demons need some kind of regulation, specific, some one kind of regulation, whereas the demigods need another kind of regulation. So as a result of that, different scriptures came. And some siddhantas, some theory, also are atheistic. Like in this way, the knowledge came down. But we see the difference between that line and the line Bhagavad Parampara. The Bhagavad Parampara is strictly adhering to the discipline of Krishna. Therefore, the Bhagavad Parampara never gets distorted. Even when it is distorted, Krishna himself comes and rectifies it. Like, yes, due to the age of Kali, this Bhagavad Parampara also got distorted. But then, Madhvacharya, in the same line, Brahma's line, and he re-established. Similarly, in other sampradayas also, in Sri Shankaraya, Ramananda Chandra, in Rudra Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami, and Kumar Sampradaya, Nimbarka Chandra, they revive the teachings of their Sampradaya. Therefore, they are known as the Sampradaya Chandra. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave the perfect process for the age of Kali. Perfect process. Sankirtan Jyoti. This is actually meant for everybody, not only for Gauriya Sampradaya. This is meant for everyone. And hopefully, at some point, all four Sampradayas will accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made that possibility quite clear. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created this Gauriya Siddhanta accepting two aspects from each sampradaya. From Madhvacharya Sampradaya, from Brahma Matha Sampradaya, he took one as two aspects. Sri Sampradaya, he took two. Rudra Sampradaya, he took two, and in Marga Bhagavad, Kumar Sampradaya, two. And in this way, he actually created his Siddhanta. Another way to look at it is, like one analogy goes like, on the field of atheism, of Buddhism, you see, whole of India at one time became Buddhist. On the field of the atheism of Buddhism, on the atheistic field of Buddhism, Shankaracharya dug the foundation. To establish the, re-establish the Vedas. So he established the Vedas. But to dig the foundation, he had to go in the other direction. That's why sometimes it seems that Shankaracharya Siddhanta is opposed to Vaishnava Siddhanta. It's an apparent appearance. But the reality is, like the building will go up that way, but foundation goes in which way? In the opposite direction. So the field was always the field of atheism. He, while re-establishing the Vedas, he was digging the foundation, he was establishing the foundation. On that foundation, four Vaishnava Acharyas built the temple. Shankaracharya dug the foundation and four Vaishnava Acharyas built. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu installed the deities of Radha Krishna in the temple. So all their achievements and all their endeavors became successful and effective through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose. Serving Radha Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. worshipping Radha Krishna is ultimate goal.
Therefore, those who take advantage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement will receive some inconceivable benefit which is otherwise not available to you. In simple words, all four sampradayas are actually leading to Vaikuntha. The goal of those four sampradayas are Vaikuntha. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened the gate of Vrindavan. And everyone is invited to come and take advantage of that. Mahaprabhu opened the gate, but we have to enter, in order to enter into Vrindavan, we have to become qualified. And what is the qualification? Serve Sri Chaitanya. That is the only qualification. Nityananda Prabhu simplified that point very nicely. He says, serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasyara and you will have access of Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhuras of Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasyaras and he will have access to Vrindavan where Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhur is available. In Vaikuntha, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhur is not available. The only way to approach Vrindavan is through Chaitanya. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special representative came, Srila Prabhupada came, and he made this process available to everyone. Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma, and through Sankirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is served. So why should you worry for which sampradaya belongs to? Just accept Yuga Dharma. I may be a Vaishnava, I may be a Shaivite, I may be a whatever I may be an atheist, I may be a demon, doesn't matter. Just become engaged in this sankirtan. And the process is so simple. Chant the holy name. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So this is the thing. So let's just take advantage of this most wonderful process which is so sublime, so simple. And so all our discussions, this is what we have to understand. This surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only way to achieve perfect beatific vision. Only way. And surrendering is normal. We can consider surrender like in wrestling match, there is a condition. One of them has to say something. And then the other will be finished. Now, in order to win, everyone is struggling so hard. It's so difficult to win. Especially when your opponent is so strong, so powerful. So when you realize that this material nature is so powerful, then why don't we just say surrender to the Supreme Personality? Material nature is beating us up. Why? Why material nature is punishing us so severely in so many different ways?
simply to make us surrender to Krishna. So why don't we just begin with the surrender? But there are two types of surrender. One surrender is like this, and the other surrender is like this. So this kind of surrender is voluntary surrender. And that kind of surrender is a forced surrender. And that will happen at the time of death. No matter what it will be, huh? But not only death, old age, disease and death will force us to surrender this. When you become diseased, what happens? You're lying in bed. But we are so adamant that in spite of that, in spite of being beaten to the death, we don't want to surrender. In real intelligence, therefore, is to just surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. And especially, who is he? Who are we surrendering to? Our most well-wishing friend, our dearest friend, our ever-loving father, who is all-powerful, who is all-cognizant. He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. So when you surrender to him, like if a rich man's son who left his father comes back to the father, what happens? Does he still suffer? On the other hand, when he left his father and started to struggle to survive, he had to suffer so much. But now that he has surrendered his father, everything is so good. Jai Shri Shri Gaurmitai Ki. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Nrisinghananda. Mike. No, give it to him.
Hare Krishna. We find that when the Lord appears in the different extensions, incarnations and extensions, there's always the form that he assumes is always related to the specific activity. So for example, Maharaj appears in a form, or Ramanadev appears in the dwarf, Lord Shimadev, Hakman, Abraham, both of the specific pastime and activity. What is the reason for Hamsa incarnations of theirs in the form of Hamsa's son?
It's a swan head, it's a swan-like person. Like for example, whenever the Lord appears, he appears in a certain way to accomplish certain purpose. Not only a certain purpose, it is by just through his one act, he accomplishes millions of purposes, or hundreds of purposes. Like for example, Vaman, dwarf, because he came to ask for the land, if he came with a big personality, then probably there would have been a concern for how much land he would want. But a dwarf, all he wanted is just three sticks, small little sticks. So that is how he appeared in that. Nrisingadev, as you know,
to outdo Hiranyakashipu's to Hiranyakashipu's benediction, he has to appear. So here we have to understand that the swan has a characteristic, a special characteristic. They're very peaceful, very composed. So a saintly personality who is meditating, he has to, you know, whose purpose is meditation, he is internally very peaceful. That's why the Lord appeared in so much.
And one more question in regards to the eight points that Lord has found in the book of the Sampradaya. Could you just have it?
Yeah, I was just at the back of my mind, I was trying to remember that also. I think I don't remember all. I was thinking of going back and looking at that. I think from Sri Sampradaya to worship, deity worship, and what is deity worship and service to him. Do you remember all these? Okay, what did you take from Madhva Sampradaya? Deity worship and service to him. From Madhva Sampradaya. No, two. I think deity worship he took from Sri Sampradaya. The Ramanuja Sampradaya was very strict. Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah, here. You see, here that what has been forbidden is advertised to glorify ourselves. That should not be. But to advertise to promote Krishna consciousness, that should be done. That's why you see when you're putting tila, that's new thing. Isn't it advertising? Right? But that is to make people understand that you are, so that people can recognize that you are devotee of Krishna. So for the sake of preaching, we have to.
And as you mentioned about the surrender of Krishna, so the surrender of Krishna, as children of the Krishna, the reason is there to become Krishna conscious. So possessing Krishna and surrendering Krishna, what is the difference?
What is
possession of Krishna? Like we have a habit of possessing something, we should have something. But if we possess Krishna through his name,
devotee never thinks that he possesses Krishna. Does the servant ever think that he possesses the master? Master may feel certain way towards the servant. That's why. But a servant never feels that I possess my master. A good servant is that. Surrender. Any other question? Yes. Okay. I'll just go into this internet questions. Brajaraja Sutradas from Nashville. You know where Nashville is? Nashville is in the southern part of North America. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, all are born in ignorance, even those who are previously advanced. Therefore the need of the spiritual master, the birth of soul or rekindling. That is, spiritual knowledge is rekindled by coming in contact with the genuine Guru. Does this refer to first Harinam or second initiation, Brahmana or Diksha?
Thank you.
Yeah.
You see, real initiation takes place when you accept the teachings of the Vaishnava. These are initiation, the formal initiation is a formality. That formality was necessary before because this spiritual knowledge or mantra was kept as a secret. It was kept as a secret only the guru could give it to a qualified candidate. Otherwise, this was not available. That is why, unless and until one became initiated, he did not have access to that. But that is not the case anymore. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the Hare Krishna Mahamantra available to him. And the Hare Krishna Mahamantra does not depend upon initiation. Rather, you can think, in order to even get Harinam in ISKCON, you have to chant the Harinam 16 rounds for 6 months or 1 month. So to get the mantra, you have to chant the mantra. So that is the difference. In other ages, that was not possible. You won't get the mantra unless the guru gives it to you. That's why in other ages, spiritual life began with the process of teaching. But that's not the case anymore. Like even I would say that even when one begins to read the proper books and accept the proper teaching in his heart, he is initiated. His spiritual life begins. Right. And spiritual knowledge will come from him. Actually, there are many people who never made devotees in that way, physically, but became devotees. Just by reading Prabhupada's books. So that means, by reading Prabhupada's books, they are actually coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada. Just by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, they are associated with the pure devotees. And the spiritual life. I heard of one incident, like especially amazing. One devotee just happened to be in the Canadian Prairie. How many of you know what the Canadian Prairie is like? In the northern part of Canada, there's nothing. You see, Canada is a huge country. But the Canada is inhabited only in the southern part. All the cities are in the southern part near the Canadian border. Starting from Quebec, Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, Vancouver. They are all in the southern. When you go to north of Canada, there is nothing, and what grows there is bushes. And that's called Canadian Prairie. It's practically empty land. Hardly anybody stays there. There he came across a woodlot, log cabin. So out of curiosity, or maybe he was tired, he just knocked at the door. So they invited him. When he went in, he found that there is an old of Gaurika. And he was shocked to see it. In Canadian Prairies, in a log cabin, there is an old of Gaurika. And so he inquired whether they are devotees. They said no. Then he asked, how did you become then how are you worshipping? They said that they read one book from Srila Prabhupada and they became so affected by that book, and at the end of the book there was this address of Los Angeles Temple, DDC. So they started to write to them, started to read the books, and became more and more interested. They started to ask for California, the name, and eventually they started to worship Jesus. They chanted, never met the devotee. So this is the potency of Srila Prabhupada's book. Sometimes I used to wonder why Srila Prabhupada each time he would just write the full mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Sometimes I ask you whether it's specially translated. Like I used to think, why did Prabhupada just write it? Hare Krishna Maha Maksha. Because so many times he said to me, say that by the time everybody knows that Hare Krishna Maha Maksha is Hare Krishna Maha Maksha. But then it dawned in me that if ever the time comes in such a way that even the books are not available, only few pages are available, it may happen. Nobody knows what may happen to this world. If the third world war takes place, we don't really know what's going to happen. And if those books, if somebody gets even one page of that book and reads it, probably he will be totally enlightened. Yes, very well. Okay, I'll go
ahead. Hey. Just thinking we were discussing about pure devotion, there is a question about that. Taking the people of a sincere practitioner who is not having your heart, having a lot of money, in that level, one perform pure devotional service. If no, then what? And if yes, then how and when? Because many times I have heard different lectures, I have heard different documents, different devotees, they give arguments. They say, actually, unless your heart is pure, you can perform pure devotional service. But few months back, I encountered with one of the lectures here from Prabhupada. He is in a Bhagavad Gita first chapter. He is an example of an inferior technician. He tells that all the technician doesn't know the theory of a machine, but because he just follows the engineer instructions, he will calculate the same thing.
It's a simple consideration. You know, you can't get your devotion unless your heart is purified. But what will purify the heart? What is the answer to that? By practicing devotional service, the heart will get purified. So the point is, devotional service is the means as well as the end. Right? Devotional service is not only the means or only the end. It is both the means and the end. While you are practicing devotional service, to progress or become qualified, and when you achieve perfection, then also you keep on rendering devotion. Do you have any other question? And what you said is right, like that the technician follows the instruction of the engineer who knows, and he also achieves perfection.
He said that devotional service should be as foundation. But then in the Sloka Bhagavad Gita, the Krishna says that Sarva Dharma Paritrajanya, that you surrender to me and then I will take all your reactions. So doesn't it make it like the devotional service as foundation, that I will surrender and I will get my sins, my reactions to the sins and clean?
Yeah, it is conditional, that way. You have to surrender. Unless you surrender, it's not going to be. Yeah? So unconditional doesn't mean no condition. Unconditional means that no motivation or no desire. But all the process has to be followed. You can't say that unconditional means no process of no, the process here is followed. And the process is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. This process here, unconditional doesn't mean no rules, no regulation. Just do whatever you want. No, that's not. Unconditional means when we are serving devotional service, we are not making any condition. Krishna, if you give me this, I will do this for you. The condition is no condition with Krishna. But for practicing, yes, we have to follow the condition. Isn't this condition follow the cordiality principle? Then somebody may say, unconditional devotional service.
Explanation is the same topic. Like when Krishna says that all your reactions to the sinful activities will be wiped out, then as for the long term, it is also made by Krishna. So the karmic reactions are being wiped out by Krishna himself who created the long term. So, like in explanation of the same.
What's the question what you
said? That the word is that a certain reaction will be wiped off or will be
the karmic reaction. Will be wiped off.
Yeah. So but since Lord Karma was invented by Lord Krishna himself, so he himself is like breaking his own law by saying if you surrender.
Yes. The lawmaker can break the law. Lawmaker can But he doesn't, he is not breaking it for himself. He is breaking it to facilitate others. And he is not really breaking the law as such. If you look at it. He made the law for those who defied it. He made the laws for those who went against him. Therefore, when somebody surrendered unto him, he said, okay, now you are out of it. You are not in the jurisdiction of that law. Because you have surrendered. All your case is, past case is dismissed. Okay. Let me have a few other questions. Nagaraj Das from Hyderabad, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Tanho Maharaj. My question is, how one can know he is surrendered to Lord or not? Specifically, Madhvihar. How one can know whether he is surrendered or not? How can you know whether you have eaten or not? You know by the symptom. When you eat, you can remember, you put the food in your mouth. And by eating your stomach is now satisfied, your body has become strong. So similarly, when you surrender, you surrender. That means you are not maintaining your independence. You are not thinking that everything is for your enjoyment. Rather, you are depending upon it. So surrender means surrendering your independence. Surrender means you become dependent upon it. That is how one should understand the surrender. Monica Sharma, Sydney. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, are our daily chores devotional service? It will be, it's a consideration of how you are executing your daily chores. As we say, are our daily chores devotional service? Rather, we can say, your daily chores can become devotional service. like one of the chores is you have to cook in the morning, cook breakfast, prepare the breakfast. So for whom you are preparing the breakfast? If you think that you are preparing a breakfast for your son or your husband or yourself, then it's not devotion. But when you prepare the breakfast for Krishna, then it is devotion. And then when you take the prasad and serve it to your son and your husband and your daughter, yes, then it is devotion. Similarly, you are cleaning your room, and if you think that you are cleaning your room, or rather instead of thinking that you are cleaning your room, if you think that you are cleaning Krishna's room, then it is devotion. You went shopping and you bought various things. Instead of thinking that you bought this thing for you and your family, if you think that you are buying these things for Krishna's pleasure, to offer to Krishna, then it is devotion. So Monica, in this way, you can turn your devotional daily chores into devotion. And yes, Krishna.
Dominant, what is this?
Dominant, to me it is anything.
Huh?
Oh, okay, okay, very good, yes. Very good. Yeah, I'll take your question. The concept of Gangadharan Prabhu has just found the eighth aspect that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took from four sampradayas, two from each. He found it. Now I know if I have any question, what would you ask? The concept of unalloyed devotion free from karma and jnana. Ananda Bhakti, to service to devotees, Bhakti Jana Seva. Acha, let me just see from here. Mahaprabhu accepted the following two principles from Lakshmi Sampradaya.
No, you can have it.
The concept of unalloyed devotion free from karma and jnana. Ananda and service to the devotee is from Sri Shankara. Unalloyed devotion free from karma and jnana and service to devotees. Madhava Sampradaya, he took complete defeat of the Mayavadi philosophy. Kevala Dvaita Nirashkar, the worship of the deity of Krishna and understanding it to be eternal. Krishna Murti Seva. Defeating Mayavada completely and serving the deity of Krishna from Madhava Sampradaya. Vishnu Swami or Rudra Sampradaya, he took the sentiment of total dependence on Krishna. The sentiment of total dependence on Krishna and the path of spontaneous devotion of the Rama from Rudra Sampradaya. And from Nimbarka Sampradaya, the need of taking exclusive shelter of Radhika, Chaitanya Radhika Ashraya. And the exalted mood of the gopis, love of Shri Krishna, gopi bhava. The exalted mood of the gopis. So taking exclusive shelter of Radharani and the mood of the gopis is from Nirvana. So these are the eight
obtain the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to cross formation. Chaitanya Charitamrita
lines by lines.
Oh, okay. Hmm. The same thing has been said in the book. Anyway, so it's all right. Yes.
Prabhupada explained that the four smaras were initially important, but then later they have question of the Lord in that time, and they become attracted to the sensible qualities and then become devotees. Now, the samsara is also an incarnate to the Lord, means imparted knowledge to both Kumaras. So then, why is it that although having darshan in this particular form, the transformation did not take place, but later?
We don't really know where this took place before the way of Vaikuntha or after this. To me it sounds like it happened after they achieved the realization from Vaikuntha. Yeah, I'll take you afterwards. In the meantime, pass the mic to Shyam Krishna. Brahmananda Bodhdas from Mayapur, Hare Krishna Maharaj, one query by our self-member is that in ISKCON, why there is no arati for Krishna, but we have Narasimha arati, Gaur arati, even Guru arati. We are now based in Salala, Oman. That's a nice question. We generally, arati is going on of Krishna when we are worshipping, and that, say for example, say, Mangalarati. The Mangalarati, we are singing, starting with Gurbhashtakam, but that is then going into Panchatattva Pranam and Hare Krishna Mahaprabhu. The prayers we are doing is Guru, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Krishna, but the arati is being offered to Radha Krishna. So it is not that because we are singing the prayer to Guru, the arati is being offered only to the Guru. The arati is actually being offered to. And then as you are saying, like in evening we are singing Kiva Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra. But after that we are actually going to Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is singing the glory of Krishna. With every chant, with every occasion, every arati, we are actually going to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is offering the prayers of Krishna. So, it is not that because we are singing Kiva Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra, that arati is only to Gaura Chandra. When it goes to Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it is indicating Krishna. And arati is taking place to whom we are worshipping at that time, offering the paraphernalia. Like in the Panchatattva altar, Panchatattva is offered the arati. In Nrisimhadev's altar, Nrisimhadev is offered the arati. In Radha Madhava altar, Radha Madhava is being offered the arati. But the prayers are going there. And the ultimate worship, you may say, we are singing Gaura Kiva Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra, we are singing Namaste Narasimhaya. We are singing in this way specific prayers. Why we don't sing Jaya Jaya Radha Krishna Yugala Vilam Aruti Kormane Bhati Tadi Shukti Bhana? We are not thinking that. Yes, that can be a question that you may raise. But my answer to that will be, it doesn't matter, because the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the most effective way to glorify Krishna. Today lots of questions are coming from the internet. Another question from Brahmanda Govardhas Prabhu. Hare Krishna Maharaj, another query is that why do we sing Gaur Vandana when we are doing arati for Krishna? See, I just answered that sometimes when Krishna, similarly in a question, that why do we chant Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Gokale when you are offering arati to Krishna? That is the way we are approaching Krishna. The Guru, then Gaura, Gauranga, we are approaching Krishna. And we just follow the system that Prabhupada establishes. This is not Prabhupada's establishment. Paramangalarati, Gurbhashtam. And for Darshanarati, Govinda Mahasukshman. For evening arati, Kivar Gyaragya Gaur Assembly. And that actually indicates that every temple should have long assemblies. Thank you, Brahman Prabhu. I'm happy to know that we are in Mayapur now. And please convey my best wishes to all the devotees of Oman. And you are doing a wonderful preaching there, and we are so thankful to you for the wonderful service you are rendering to Shiva. Rohit from Calcutta, Hare Krishna Maharaj, why Krishna had created four sampradayas? He could have created one path so that there would not have been so much fight on religious principles. As we discussed, for different types of individuals that keep closer to the need. So that is according to the need that Krishna created. There was a need for him to give his identity to Brahma, there was a need for coming into Lakshmi Devi, there was a need for coming from Lord Shiva. And that is that not that everybody will be just approaching Krishna. Some will approach Krishna through Lakshmi, some will be followers of Lakshmi. We see that some people love Lakshmi because they think that by Lakshmi they can get a lot of wealth. Especially the business community. They are very fond of Lakshmi. So because of their attachment to Lakshmi, they are more open to Lakshmi Devi approach. So Shri Sampradaya. Some were fond of Lord Shiva. So they will approach Krishna through Lord Shiva. Some are into meditation and yoga. And due to their attachment to the Kumara or the yogic practice of meditation and so forth, they will also approach Krishna through this yoga practice. So this is how this Krishna created different paths of Vaishnava Sampradaya, different branches of Vaishnava Sampradaya. But as we are saying, if Krishna made only one path, then they won't have been religious, fight on religious principles. You see, actually path is one. Actually the path is one. But it's the people who divide. So the conflict over religion will always be, especially in the age of Kali. When people like to fight, they fight for any reason, for no reason. So what to speak of when they get something? Like, my religion is better than yours. And your religion is not religion at all. So unless you accept my religion, you don't have the right to live. So people will develop this kind of attitude and they'll come. So that's what is happening. Yes, Shyama. Okay, let me just answer this one. आपने क्लास में कहा था कि दिस फ्रॉम किशोरी देवीदास जी, आपने क्लास में कहा था कि शुद्ध भक्तिमय सेवा के ही हम भगवान के चरण कमलों तक पहुंच सकते हैं, परंतु हम इतने योग्य नहीं कि शुद्ध भक्तिमय सेवा कर सकते, इसलिए क्या हम साधन भक्ति से उनके चरण कमलों में नहीं पहुंच सकते हैं? साधन भक्ति का शुरुआत कैसे हुआ था? फ्रेस किशोरी साधन भक्ति की शुरुआत कैसे हुआ था? इस्कॉन का भक्त लोग जब आया था, साधन भक्ति हो रहा था, तो शुरुआत कैसे हुआ? भक्त लोग आने से हुआ ना, वही बात है। भक्तों की कृपा से ही भक्ति मिलता है, और भक्ति जब करते रहते हो, साधन जब कर रहे हो तो साधन भक्ति है, बस जब सिद्ध हो जाओगे तो शुद्ध भक्त बन जाओगे। Is Krishna describing wakeful state, dream state, deep sleep state? These are the three states of consciousness in the material age. And beyond that is the fourth stage, which is the pure spiritual consciousness.
So, Guru, for the deep sleep state, you mentioned that we are very close to the spiritual realm, but we end up arriving back in the material realm. So, which realm is that where we end up in?
When in deep sleep?
Yes.
You can see, like, then the soul is not affected by either the gross or the subtle body's consciousness. The consciousness then is not flowing through the subtle body or gross body. Right? Wakeful state, consciousness is both gross and subtle. Dream state, consciousness is only up to the subtle. Dreamless state, the consciousness is inactive. Right? It's not conscious anymore. But then, Krishna is describing that in Uddhava Gita, that is the state of pure ignorance. Ignorance is inactive, total inactive. It is there, but it's not active. Consciousness is not being manifest. The consciousness is neither active in the spiritual platform nor active in the material. So that is the state, limbo.
Guru Maharaj, the second question is, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are a lot of instructions on how to meditate, etc., which are not to be followed or can't be followed in this age. So why is that the Lord gave those instructions to Uddhava? Because he knew when he goes the age of Kali.
There are two ways of looking at it. That at that time when the Lord was speaking to Uddhava, for a personal relationship like this, it was better. Because now Uddhava is leaving home, taking sannyas. And that sannyas is, you know, being completely alone and being completely absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord. So that sannyas needed one way. The other way to look at it is that it is always good to know what you want. Especially if it's positive thing. It's necessary. You know, like, there's no harm in knowing whether we accept it or not, that's not the question. I mean, that's not a consideration. But we know what is wrong. And then we are in a better position to decide whether we accept it or not, whether it's necessary for us or not. So that's why it is projected. Yes. Okay, last question. This is from Rohini Nandan, last from the audience. Rohini Nandan, thank you very much. And thank you for being awake so late in the late at night. It's almost midnight there in the audience. Hare Krishna Maharaj, my question is, if the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is everything in our sampradaya, then why is there ritual during initiation and marriage ceremony? To make one realize that we are serious. If there was no ritual or no ceremony, elaborate ceremony, then really we would have recognized the value. But when the devotee goes through that ritual, then he realizes that it's a serious matter. And through this ritual he is taking a vow, 16 rounds. Similarly, when they get married, through the ritual, then they realize it's a serious matter, no more fooling around. Now I have to become serious. I have to take care of my wife and family throughout their whole life. So that is why these rituals are important. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.